Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'm super excited to announce the release of my very first book, The Golden Key: Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. If you're ready to alchemize the circumstances in your life so that your abundance expands to an entirely new level in 2021, head over to goldenkey.gift to download the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. So grateful to be back with you all again. As always, I want to give a big shout out and thanks to Erica Middlemiss, Miss, for taking over the reins while I was traveling. I was at the Outside In Equinox Festival in Santa Barbara, California. It was magical on one of my favorite campgrounds, Live Oak Campground. Had a phenomenal time there. And so thank you for taking over, Erica. I hope you all enjoyed having a little dose of divine feminine there. You have Alexa on Fridays, and then Monday and Tuesday there was Erica. So yeah, here I am back in the studio recording today on this fabulous Thursday, and we are going to talk about the path being the goal. And this obviously is something that we've touched on many times before, and we're gonna dive into a little clip from Alan Watts talking about it as well. And before I do, I would like to take a moment to read a review on iTunes. You guys know I love my iTunes reviews. Not only do they help us to reach new people, but certainly help to fuel my fire to continue this labor of love. And this one came in by Ashley Tornero, and the title is Little Synchronicity. Hello, Brandon. So I've been listening to your podcast since the beginning of this year. My best friend got me hip, and ever since I've been hooked. There are moments I don't listen faithfully, and those are usually the moments I find myself trapped in my own mind. However, your podcast is always able to pull me out of that. I've been trying to figure out what's right to write in on a review. So many times I've wanted to write you books, questions, etc., and I pushed it aside, only later on for me to figure out the answers on my own. I got my mom listening to you as well. One day she said she'd sent me something, and I didn't think too much about it, but as I was walking to my mailbox one afternoon, I had this feeling come over me, and I knew at that moment what was in my mailbox. Already with excitement, I ran to check the mail, and it was the book Oneness. I started crying. I've been reading it from chapter one because, well, that's just how I got to do it. But it's the most valuable thing I own. Sometimes I find myself not understanding the words I'm reading, but then there's this underlying connection within myself that just gets it. I feel like I'm reading my life story. You had Rasha on the show last week, and it made my entire day. I purchased the meditations to go with the book, and I've been putting them to great use. I couldn't be happier that you two got together. Also, one last thing. Sorry, this is way longer than I anticipated. I listened to the powwow episode with Phil Good yesterday before work. I wasn't feeling the greatest, so I was looking for a punch in the face to get my things together. I looked up as I'm about to finish. All I could stuff in before work, and 11:11 is on the car right in front of me. And I didn't get to finish it entirely till this morning, but I added a person on Instagram last night, not really paying attention to the name, just found myself lost in the feed of information. This morning, I'm on my way to the gym, and I'm finishing the episode, waiting desperately to hear the ways to contact Phil, and he spit out his Instagram information. And I'm typing it in, and he pops up. I added him last night without even knowing that I'd been listening to that exact person. I laughed at myself and thought, that was totally epic. There's so much more I want to share with you, but I'll wrap this up before it turns into a book. I just want to say thank you, Brandon, for being my positive reminder. You've been such a light in this beautiful yet sometimes trying process, and I cannot thank you enough. I'll continue to tell people about your work. Forever a positive head. Love, Ash. Thank you, Ash, for writing your novel review. I certainly appreciate it. And yeah, it is, isn't it a trip how energy flows and how connections happen in such a synchronistical way, you know, adding Phil and then, of course, hearing him right after. And you were one step ahead, right? And yeah, I'm glad also that you've really enjoyed Oneness. You know, now that I'm done reading that, for those of you who never caught any of those readings, it's a book received and transcribed by Rasha in 1998. And I read chapters over the last year or so. And you can go to the positivehead.com website, search Rasha or search Oneness, and you'll see not only my interview with the author, but all the chapters that I read over the last year plus. So really, really excellent book. I view as the guidebook for ascension. So if you haven't taken the time to review on iTunes, would definitely appreciate that. And with all that being said, I'm going to jump into today's topic. And we're going to start with a quote by Hunter S. Thompson. And this sort of sets the premise of what I want to talk about. And Hunter S. Thompson said, "Life's journey is not to arrive at the grave safely in a well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, totally worn out, shouting, 'Holy shit, what a ride.'" And I've always loved this quote, and it's so true. It's like, you didn't come here to play it safe on the sidelines. Yeah, you can lock yourself away in a box and sort of, you know, I instantly pops into mind this guy I used to know, Chris, many, many years ago. I would go out in public with him, and literally we'd be crossing streets and things like that. And he would hide behind a pole. And I'd be like, "What are you doing hiding behind this telephone pole as we're standing at this cross light?" And he's like, "Well, what if this car coming by, you know, goes off the road and hits, you know, comes towards us? Oh, this pole will protect me." And I mean, it's kind of funny, but also a little bit sad. I mean, he was so scared of, you know, being harmed and playing it safe, that he was just living in anxiety all the time, trying to sidestep potential problems and, you know, get out of the way of any issues, as opposed to, you know, trusting the process of life and knowing that the journey is not about, you know, getting somewhere safely with, as Hunter put it, a well-preserved body, but rather like living this thing to the absolute fullest. And if you're not doing that, then you're missing the point of why you came here. And probably along with that, if you're someone who's playing it overly safe, right, and not taking those risks, and I'm not saying be stupid and step in front of the oncoming car, right, but living with a sense of trust and knowing that you're meant to, it's meant to be a roller coaster. You're meant to skid in sideways at the end and be like, "Wow, what a ride that was." And if you're not doing that, you're probably experiencing some level of depression. You know, Jim Carrey said, I saw someone post recently, depression is your avatar telling you it's tired of being the character you're trying to play. So if you're depressed, you're probably playing a character that really isn't in alignment with what your higher self is wanting you to play. And it doesn't mean you got to make some radical dramatic shift and quit your job and, you know, take a backpack and hit the road or anything like that, although you may. Start with making small changes. Start with being aware that you didn't come here to play it safe. You came here so that when you got to the other side, everyone is high-fiving you for how epic you pulled off, you know, how epically you painted the art of your life, how you portrayed and lived through your avatar, through your vehicle, your body, to the fullest. And, you know, once again, this doesn't mean to be stupid. It just means to be adventurous. It means to be childlike, right? To be children aren't thinking about how they can keep their clothes clean. Usually they're diving in the mud and they're having a hell of a time doing it, right? And we've gotten so caught up in watching from the sidelines and, you know, not living full on. It's time to live full on. It's time for you to stop playing it safe. It's time for you to, you know, stop discounting what you're capable of and to step, you know, on the ledge and step from the ledge and know that a net will appear if your intention is to do just that. Hey, you're not trying to be dumb. You're not trying to be foolish, but you are saying to the universe, you are saying to your higher self, "I want to meet you halfway. Actually, this makes me think of the most recent, speaking of the universe, a note from the universe that you can sign up for them at tut.com. This just popped into my head because I saw it this morning when I woke up. This note from the universe said for today, yeah, I know it sounds like a good idea to the New Agers, God squads, and holy rollers to turn all things over to the quote unquote universe. But I'm a little concerned that something important has been lost in translation. Brandon, how about you just turn over the howls to me and have yourself a little field day with the all things part? Hope I got to you before they did, the universe. And then P.S. I mean, here I am thinking I've turned over all things to them, Brandon, and they are thinking they've turned over all things to me. No wonder they think I move in mysterious ways. So what is the universe saying here? Not just turning it over to the universe and sitting back idly and watching and waiting for things to happen, but turning over the house. You don't need the details. You don't need all the details. You have a field day with the taking action part, all the things part, as it put it. And, you know, learning how to dance this dance with your higher self is everything. It wants to meet you halfway. But if you're sitting on the sidelines, if you're sitting on the edge of the gym floor, like you maybe did in the ninth grade, you know, at the ninth grade prom or ring dance or whatever you had at your school. I think ours was ring dance around 10th grade, ninth, 10th grade. And then it went on to prom later. But if you're standing on the sidelines watching, it's like, no, get in the game and find little ways to get in the game and know. And you know, if you're aiming for something, what is something that you can do? You know, if there's a particular experience or feeling that you want to have in your life, an underlying, you know, let's say, like we talked about with Charles Clay, a vacation vibration, right? That's a great underlying feeling to shoot for. I want to feel like I'm on vacation every day. Okay. What can you do today that will, how can you step out and get in into alignment with something that feels like a vacation vibration? What is something small that you can do? And then allow the universe to bring other ways that mirror that to you. You step halfway, you do little things and let it get the bigger details. You don't need to have everything figured out. Well, unless I can figure out a calculated plan here to have a vacation vibration 24/7 every day from this point forward, I'm not even going to step in that direction. That is missing the point of how this thing unfolds. It unfolds in a way where you can just see one step in front of you and you take that step with trust and faith and a playful, childlike wonder in spirit, right? That is the way to co-create with our higher selves. What I'd like to do now is take a minute and listen to play a pretty short clip here from Alan Watts talking about how to dance, how this is meant to unfold. It's called Let It Happen by Itself. And this one I found on the Wiara YouTube page. And yeah, just about 7 minutes or so. Take a listen.
Music as an art form is essentially playful. We say you play the piano. You don't work the piano. Why? Music differs from, say, travel. When you travel, you are trying to get somewhere. And of course, we, because being a very compulsive and purposive culture, are busy getting everywhere faster and faster and faster till we eliminate the distance between places. I mean, with the modern jet travel, you can arrive almost instantaneously. What happens as a result of that is that the two ends of your journey become the same place. So you eliminate the distance, and you eliminate the journey. Because the fun of the journey is to travel, not to obliterate travel. So then, in music, though, one doesn't make the end of a composition the point of the composition. If that were so, the best conductors would be those who played fastest. And there would be composers who wrote only finales. People go to a concert just to hear one crashing chord, because that's the end. Same way in dancing. You don't aim at a particular spot in the room. That's where you should arrive. The whole point of the dancing is the dance. Look at the people who live to retire and put those savings away. And then when they're 65, they don't have any energy left. They're more or less impotent. And they go and rot in an old people's senior citizens community. Because we've simply cheated ourselves the whole way down the line. We thought of life by analogy with a journey, with a pilgrimage, which had a serious purpose at the end. And the thing was to get to that end, success or whatever it is, or maybe heaven after you're dead. But we missed the point the whole way along. It was a musical thing, and you were supposed to sing or to dance while the music was being played. But you had to do that thing. You didn't let it happen. And so, in this way, the human being sometimes becomes an organism for self-frustration. Let's take Kozhevsky called man a time binder. That means that he's the animal peculiarly aware of the time sequence. And as a result of this, is able to do some very remarkable things. He can predict. He studies what's happened in the past, and he says the chances are so-and-so of that happening again. So he predicts. This is very useful to be able to predict, because that has survival value. But at the same time, it creates anxiety. You pay for this increased survival ability involved in prediction by knowing that in the end you won't succeed. You're all going to fall apart by one way or another. It might happen tomorrow, might happen 50 years from now. But it all comes apart in the end. And people get worried about that. They get anxious. So what they gained on the roundabout, they lost on the swings. So then, if you see, on the other hand, that existence, this is, as I said, my basic metaphysical assumption, which I won't conceal from you, that existence is musical in nature. That is to say that it is not serious. It is a play of all kinds of patterns. We can look upon different creatures as we look at different games, as we look at chess, checkers, backgammon, tennis. There's the tree game, the beetle game, the grass game. Or you can look at them as you look at different styles of music, mazurkas, waltzes, sonata, etc., etc., all down the line. There are all these different things doing their stuff. And we're doing that. Now, existence, you see, is something that is spontaneous. The Chinese word for nature, ziran, means that which happens of itself. Your hair grows by itself. Your heart beats by itself. You breathe pretty much by itself. Your glands secrete their essences by themselves. You don't have voluntary control over these things. So we say it happens spontaneously. So when you go to sleep and you try to go to sleep, you interfere with the spontaneous process of going to sleep. Try to breathe, you know, real hard, and you find you get balled up in your breathing. So if you're going to be human, you just have to trust yourself to have bowel movements and go to sleep and digest your food. Of course, if something goes seriously wrong and you need a surgeon, that's another matter. But by and large, the healthy human being doesn't, right from the start of life, need surgical interference. And he lets it happen by itself. So with the whole picture, that is fundamental to it. You've got to let go and let it happen. Because if you don't, you're going to be all clutched up. You're going to be constantly trying to do what can happen healthily only if you don't try.
Yeah, I've talked about this concept presented by Alan quite a bit lately. You know, this idea, you don't make the end of the composition the point. Otherwise, the best composers would be those that played fastest, right? Which is ridiculous. Music is playful. With travel, you're trying to get somewhere, and that's where the big mix-up is. We have been told, we've been taught, you know, okay, get through school so that you can get through college, so that you can get to some job, so that you can get to a retirement, and next thing you know, you realize the whole thing was a farce, and you've missed the whole point along the way because you viewed your life as this travel to get somewhere that when things actually matter, when they matter now. The dance is now. You don't aim at a particular spot in the room with dancing. And you can do that now. That's a beautiful thing. You don't need to have all kinds of other circumstances to go out today and dance in the rain. How many of you live somewhere where it's raining? I wish I saw more rain. In Southern California, we get very little. That's one of the things I miss the most about growing up in Virginia on the East Coast was all the, you know, all the dramatic weather. So how many of you today, as you're hearing this, here comes the rain. How long has it been since you've went out and danced in the rain? What kind of a vibration are you drumming up if you were to do that after this? Listening to this podcast or pausing it now and going out and dancing in the rain. Some of you may have never done it in your life. Go out and do that. You are going to drum up a vibration of so much magic, so much intention. Your higher self is going to be doing backflips to see that you are actually giving it the energetic, ingredients so that it can create more things that are a match to the vibration that is you having that beautiful experience dancing in the rain. Stop living to retire. Stop sitting on the sidelines, playing it safe, worried about getting water on your clothes or a little mud on your feet. You know, new MO, sliding in sideways, totally worn out, yelling, "What a ride," right? You're meant to sing and dance while this music is being played, the music of your life. You're going to look back when it's over and it's going to be like, wow, that was it. That was the life. And I really got it right here. And man, I wish I could have done better there. Now's your chance to get it right, to be the most fulfilled when you're done, when you are at the end of the journey, when it is actually over and you're looking back and saying, wow, it was so worth it. I'm so glad I played the game, you know, to the utmost, to the fullest. You're going to fall apart in the end anyway, even if you play it completely safe. You know, what did he say? What you gain on the roundabout, you lose on the swings, right? Existence is musical in nature. It is play. There's the tree game, the grass game, the beetle game, the human game. Because what's the alternative, he said? If you don't let go and let it happen and get into this the state of, you know, this much more joyous flow state of perspective on living. Otherwise, you're constantly clutched up and trying. And, you know, and that leads to anxiety and depression. And, you know, as Lao Tzu said, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you are at peace, you are living in the present. And that is it, the gift, the present. It is your present. It's the only gift there is. It's the only thing that ever exists. And all your anxieties and stresses about the past or the future, they're really pointless, right? The future is never going to show up like you imagine it. The past is nowhere to be found. You can't show it to me. Relax into the now. Become more joyous. Become more enlightened by lightening up. Floating along. Floating to all the way through, like musical notes floating across eternity. That's what you are. That's what I am. And I couldn't be more ecstatic to be floating with each and every one of you. Speaking of floating, I have a song called, you guessed it, Float. And it is by Sol Rising, S-O-L Rising. Love this artist. Love the song. Hope you do too. Love you too. Till next time, journey well.
Also, before we cue up today's song, as a quick reminder, don't forget to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.